I sing.
Andre Pivets plays organ with one of the biggest stars in world jazz, singer Gregory Porter. This makes Pivets, who's in his mid-30s, perhaps the most successful non-classical Czech musician of his generation. When we met at a cafe in his Brooklyn neighbourhood, the conversation took in his struggles to establish himself in New York, the specific nature of performing in churches, and his live baptism of fire with Porter. But first, Andre Pivets explained how a stay of several months in the Big Apple 10 years ago turned into a long-term move that transformed his life.
I found this small church in Brooklyn where this phenomenal organist, now he's widely known, Corey Henry, was playing at that time. No one really knew about him then. It was before he even played with Snarky Puppy. And it just freaked me out completely, because not only him, it was the whole band. It was a three-piece band, and the pastor was singing, and they were just... sounded like a miracle. I never heard music like that before, ever in my life. So I realized, okay, I just discovered something that I really need more of in my life. Otherwise, I would never feel good about returning. So how can I stay a little longer? So then I went back to the Czech Republic, came back here. Thankfully, it worked out. I was able to get my artist visa, and then I was legal for 3 years. And I'm like, okay, so now what? I had no gigs, I had no friends, no girlfriend, nothing. It was hard. And then the reality hit me. It was like, okay, I decided to make this change, and now what? Nobody knew me, nobody was calling me for anything. And on top of that, pretty much everywhere I went, I was one of the worst musicians around. It was, the standard here is pretty high. And not only that, when I came here, what I was largely doing at home was playing my original music. So I knew how to play my original music. I didn't know how to play other people's music. I didn't really know that many standards. It's not like jazz standards. There are musicians in the Czech Republic that know quite a lot of standards, but it's not a requirement. You don't have to. That's not a prerequisite for you to have a career as a musician. While here, if you don't know music, if you don't know songs, you're useless in most situations. So that was I.
So you really had to step up your ability.
Pretty much in every field, because, then every gig is different. So I started going to these sessions and writing stuff down, trying to, learn songs and just figure out how I can become hireable, how I can become useful just to anybody for any work. And it started paying off eventually. I got my first gig at this place called American Legion. It's a place where war veterans go in Harlem and just, get drunk. And they had an organ in there. There was a Hammond in there. And I had a regular gig every Wednesday with this baritone saxophone player, Jason Marshall. So I did that for a while. And while working really hard on my ability to play in church, which was tremendously difficult for me because it's a very traditional skill. It's not something that's taught. And even if it is taught, it's not just playing songs. It's a whole another discipline altogether.
One thing that's not clear to me is if you played Hammond before you came here or if you discovered it here.
I played Hammond before I came here. I mean, that's pretty much all I did. I never played piano, really, professionally, or keyboards. I started with that here in New York. So it was kind of the other way. I came here as an organist. Very quickly realized that, especially with my limited skill, at least limited by the New York standards, it's not going to cut it. So I had to kind of expand.
And at what point did you think, this is working, coming here was a good idea, I did the right thing?
2 years ago. I recorded with Gregory Porter, and they started calling me for tours, and then other people started calling me for big things. Then I started feeling pretty good about it. But up until then, honestly, it's been up and down. New York has a way of proving to you that you really are not doing that well, because it's just hard. Everything is expensive here, so any money you make, it extracts out of you. There's a lot of great musicians. There's a lot of great people in any field of expertise. So it's a constant reminder that you can't really think that you have anything going on, because next thing you know, you might not have it going on.
Is that insecurity hard to live with, or is it just part of being a musician?
It's just like anything else. If you push through it, if you persevere, you can get through it, and then it becomes great security, because just from experience, that you'll be able to make it no matter what happens. What it did to me was, I realized that a lot of it has to do with preparation. I might not have the particular skill right now, but if somebody calls me for a gig that requires a slightly different skill, I can zoom in on it and, you know, in 2 weeks prepare for it well enough that it'll be good. Eventually, it becomes... I'm kind of addicted to it right now. I'm thinking about, you know, maybe it would be a good idea to relocate, you know, just to kind of get a little break. And also, 6 months, 7 months out of the year, I'm on the road now, so it doesn't really matter where I live. I could probably move to Prague and still do everything I'm doing. It doesn't matter if you're going to... It's probably even better to fly to Paris from Prague than it is from New York. But I'm scared to do it because I'm afraid what it would do to scale and you know, staying on my toes, keeping the knife sharp. I know this is what New York did for me. I'm very grateful for it. And I'm a little scared to remove myself from it because I don't want to lose it.
Also, I presume if you went back to the Czech Republic, you're really going back to a small pond from your perspective.
That is true, but that's, you know, it's also, then you would change the mindset. You would try to, or at least I probably would try to elevate the, you know, the overall, the scene, I guess, share the limited knowledge that I was able to acquire here, share it with those that would care for it, but it's not really what I want.
Also, it's interesting, I was reading that you hooked up with Gregory Porter through Prague.
That's correct. There's a festival, Strings of Autumn.
Which I should say is one of the most interesting festivals these days in Prague.
It really is a very happening festival. The president, a friend of mine, Mark, he came up with this idea. They used to have, I don't know if they still have them, but they used to have these spring galas. It would be these kind of luxury concerts with dinners for donors. The ticket would cost a lot of money and they would use it to fund the festival later on in the year. And they would always invite either a rising star or an established star, and they would always invite a special guest from the Czech Republic to play with them. So for one particular year, he picked Gregory Porter and he saw it fit for me to be the special guest since I played the organ and Gregory grew up in church. To be completely honest, I was slightly... Gregory didn't want to do it. He doesn't want to play with guests. I don't blame him. Everybody bothers him all the time. Sometimes, honestly, we laugh in the dressing room. He brings up his phone and reads an email that somebody sends him. It's just like, you know, I'm such and such from so and so, and I play guitar. Can I sit in with you for one song? It's just like, what are these people thinking? Anyway, so I was that guy at that point, except it was the festival trying to do it. And then I think him sending over a YouTube video of me playing some church music eventually got the yes from Gregory's people. And I was kind of reluctant too, because at that time, I didn't even care about touring. I didn't really care about doing anything. I wanted to play in church. I wanted to learn how to play in church. That was my goal. It was just like, I want to do that. And I just got my first well-paying church gig. So it was also kind of going to save my butt in terms of paying rent and surviving in New York. So I was afraid to sub it out because I just got it. I'm not very good at it, but they have me. If I sub it out during the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, are they going to fire me? Well, they didn't. I put in a good sub. So I did it because Mark said I should, and I believe in his judgment. And it worked out. It ended up being great. Gregory seemed to have liked it. The band liked it. It made sense. It blended musically well. I prepared really well for it, or the best I could at that time. And long story short, I stayed in touch with them, invited me to a recording. Didn't end up playing on that recording, but through the producer who knew some Czech musicians, and turned out he actually knew my music as well, I ended up on the next record.
How is it playing in church? I mean, I don't know if you're religious or if that's a factor or if it makes any difference.
It's an interesting topic that I don't necessarily want to get into, about the religiosity of church musicians. So if you don't mind, let me just leave that alone. However, how is it playing in church? It's a deeply spiritual experience. If it's good, you can get yourself crying from behind the instrument. It largely depends on the other people, on the people that you're playing with, on the people that are behind the mic, on the singers, on the pastor, what is he saying, how they're building the service. Some people would say it's highly emotional. Some people say that those are not emotions, that's the actual spirit entering the room.
Are the audience, or the churchgoers, whatever you want to call them, are they different or more demanding than an audience at a regular gig?
Oh yeah, they're way more demanding. They expect the spiritual experience, and they get it through the word and the music, and if you're not delivering, they're not going to have it. And it's funny because, you know, a lot of times it would be these old church mothers, they're called, these old church ladies, and you can tell that they don't know anything about music at all, really. But It's just like, if it's not right, they'll let you know that it's not right. You know, they can't tell you what they want, but they're just like, nah, this doesn't feel good. Just, so you realize that you really have to step up your game to please these people. They don't even know how to tell you what it is that they don't like. And it's amazing. It made me realize it doesn't matter. I'm not trying to please somebody, or I'm not trying to make somebody like what I'm doing because they know about the mechanics of it, which then I realize is a lot of times is the tendency with jazz music, especially currently. It's kind of this self-perpetuating, self-feeding scene of people that, you know about it, and then they like things just because they might be technically hard, or they might be weird, or it's never been heard before. These people just like it or don't like it based on how it feels, and if it doesn't feel right, they don't like it. And it's way simpler. In a way, it's primitive, and that's what I love about it and admire about it, because to me, that's living, that's real life.
Coming from the Czech Republic to New York, what was the biggest adjustment you had to make to be successful here?
A couple of things. I mean, we have a lot of traits that are not necessarily healthy. I can only speak from my personal experience, what I was able to observe in my own behavior. It's just a lot of talking and a lot of, like, trying. I don't think there is even a word for it in English, but it's just like people just like to talk and ask. And then here, if somebody hires you for a gig and they tell you what music, if they tell you what music you're going to be playing, they tell you what music you're going to be playing, especially if they tell you what songs you're going to be playing, don't even ask anything else. Just don't. Just show up and play and do it well. Don't ask what parts you want me to play, what sounds. Do you just learn it all. Just be prepared. Learn the whole thing and do it. Sometimes they would hire you, they don't even tell you what music you're going to be playing, and you kind of have to guess it based on what they normally do or figure it out. My first gig with Gregory Porter was at Royal Albert Hall. That was my first tour gig with him. Full show, songs that I've never played in my life. High profile environment, new band, new situation. They were not used to having organ, so there's already a piano player in there. So I had to figure out how to carve out some space for myself musically while not stepping on his toes. No rehearsal. I had to learn the whole thing off of YouTube. For 2 weeks, I woke up every morning, 6 a.m., went to church. My pastor gave me the key to the church. I downloaded a couple of YouTube full concerts that somebody would post from a TV show because they play it differently than on the recordings. And I learned the show off of YouTube. And so then, you know, we started playing, and I made it seem like my ears are that good and I can react to things that well. That was BS. I knew it from YouTube from before. But it doesn't matter. You know, that's you need to prepare and show up ready and know every little detail. And still you're going to not know certain things. But then when they saw that I was kind of in it, you know, then they start helping you. And they're like, okay, you're serious. You respect what we do here. If you show up just asking, well, what key is this in and how? And they'll be like, did you know you were going to do this gig? Or, like, what's up?
I guess from everything you're saying, your decision to come here 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, must have been the best thing you've ever done.
Absolutely. It was the most phenomenal thing for me professionally and personally. I'm married now, happily. I feel like it did very good things to me as a person, and I'm extremely grateful for it. I'm grateful for all the hell that I've been through. And yeah, I think you summed it up. It was the best thing I've ever done.